From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler. Aaron Foley will be in Columbus on February 8th at the Woodlands Tavern as part of the Lady with Pockets tour. She has appeared on Chelsea Lately, Comedy Central Special, Carson Daly, and Conan O'Brien. In addition to being a successful stand-up comic, she also has a background in improv and hosts the weekly podcast Sports Without Balls. Welcome, Aaron Foley, to Craft.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about your February 8th show at the Woodlands Tavern. What can patrons expect at an Aaron Foley show?
Hopefully a lot of knee-slapping jokes. You know, it's probably about an hour show. The Lady with Pockets is, it just comes from one of my jokes. It's like this ridiculous scenario I had with like one of those like really aggressive perfume cologne ladies in the mall, in like major department stores. So it's just like a line from my act, but yeah, it should be super fun. I've only been I've been to Columbus once and really enjoyed myself, so I'm excited to be back.
Were you here on a sports related venture, or was this also a stand up comedy? Or
it was stand up. I did some stand up last year, but not at Woodland Taverns, and I've heard like just great things. A lot of my friends have performed there, so I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, because we have, and you know, we'll talk about this in a bit. We do have some sports in Columbus. We have a couple of teams associated with the university.
Oh yeah, we got Ohio State, right? Yeah, football, basketball. You guys have great. I mean, Ohio State is such a powerhouse for sports. It's awesome.
Well, you talk about a lot of things on your podcast, for example, Sports Without Balls, and you mention needing, on the most recent one, needing to take a road trip this coming Sunday to Cooperstown and the Baseball Hall of Fame. So tell me.
Yeah, I'm hoping to go.
How is it somebody so interested in the Yankees and sports and everything? How have you missed coming to the mecca of all great sport things, Ohio, for, you know, the Hall of Fame of football?
I know. I can't believe I have not been to Canton yet. It's like inconceivable. I'm gonna have to have a road trip there one day. I just was like, you know, in New York City my whole life, so Cooperstown was just much more doable. But I've been to the basketball one in Springfield, but Canton, to me, I mean, I'm like a crazy football fan, so I'm very, I've got to get there. I think my head's going to fall off in happiness.
Because it's a Yankees induction for a couple of, one of the managers, right?
Yeah, I've been like, you know, Joe Torre. It's three. Well, they'll hopefully be, you know, those are the coaches that were announced. So I don't know what players will be enshrined next summer. But I just, you know, it's like I'm also just a huge baseball fan. You know what I mean? So I think I'm a baseball fan over a Yankees fan. Probably also that's a way to protect myself because everyone hates the Yankees and they scream at my face. So I try to say, you know, I'm a baseball fan first. Everybody calm down. And it's Tony La Russa and Bobby Cox, and, you know, they've been just amazing coaches for so long. So I am definitely going for a road trip. It's going to be awesome. And then I keep thinking, Derek Jeter, my goal in life was to play, you know, catch with Derek Jeter. And I was like, well, Derek Jeter's got to be there if Joe Torre's going. I've got this whole thing planned. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I hope it will.
I am a sports moron. I have to confess,
I
know you have already, in what I just said, exhausted the totality of my sports information. So you are light years ahead of me in all this stuff. I once interviewed Rick O'Reilly from ESPN.com, and I had to bring in some ringer questions because I really didn't know what to talk to him about. He was a perfectly fine interview, but I'm not going to attempt to ask any more sports.
I won't stop. It'll be like a 4-hour interview. Like, that's why I did the Sports Without Balls podcast, because, you know, I just want to, like, every conversation I start out with just talking about whatever, it inevitably, like, roots back to sports because I'm so obsessed and I love it so much. And I get so excited that I was like, well, I'm going to create this podcast so I can at least 1 hour a week, you know, trap someone else. For an hour, and so it's been a lot of fun.
But it seems like these are sort of folks who are in stand-up and not necessarily in, I mean, they're more comedians than they are necessarily sports fans. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, what I'm trying to do, and it's going to evolve, and I'm going to, you know, interview, I just try to, like, the concept was, you know, merging, you know, comedy and sports, because there's so many sports shows, you know, that you can get every stat, you know, imaginable, starting at, like, you know, Internet 7 in the morning, all these sports centers and Fox and NBC. So it's taking sports stories and like, or sporting events and kind of talking them around and human interest stories and Olympics and sitting down with, someone else that's like funny that likes sports and it's just all women because, you know, women, I don't know, you look at things differently. It's not like very stat oriented. It's more of like kind of the stories behind it. And so that's sort of how it was created. But weekly, so it's timely, you know, sports. And now I have Countdown to the Olympics because, of course, I'm obsessed with the Olympics. So it'll branch out to, like, you know, I'm going to try to get athletes and, you know, sports reporters and stuff like that. But I always want to kind of, you know, keep it funny.
What are you most obsessed with about the Olympics that you want to have on the podcast? What's your Olympic sport?
That's a good question. I think for Winter Olympics, two things. I think ice skating, but the only problem with ice skating is I get so incredibly nervous for the ice skaters that sometimes like I can barely watch and it almost becomes not enjoyable because I just feel like, you know, one false move, they've been training for like 12 years
right.
and their whole dream is like it's inconceivable to me. You know, if I have a bad set, 20 minutes later I can get somewhere else and redeem myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have like a 4-minute program and if they, you know, their ankle turns, they're done. Like it's almost. So I get excited to see the figure skating, that and hockey, huge hockey stem. Okay. So that's really fun.
It's funny you bring up figure skating. I think it was 2 days ago I was trying to explain to someone quite a bit younger than I am, probably 18, Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding, and I just couldn't make them understand this person what that was like, and she just kept looking at me saying, well, it just sounds dumb.
Yeah, well, it was dumb. It was the most out of control, like outrageous thing. I mean, there's been some, you know, beyond sports scandals, but that to me has to, you know, that's top five. I mean, it might even be top three. I mean, it felt like, you know, the Clue game. It's like, you know, Colonel Mustard with a lead pipe, you know, in the skating rink. It was just unbelievable.
What really drives me crazy is that I remember names like Jeff Galluli more than I remember, you know, somebody will say Derek Jeter, and it'll take me a moment to recognize, oh, yeah, baseball. But I can remember Jeff Galluli with the lead pipe, like you say, you know, Colonel Mustard in the kitchen with the lead pipe. And it's just, it's a sad state of my mind that these are the things that stick, that's the sort of the sad moment. So one last sports question, and then we'll talk a little bit about your stand-up and things like that, is you follow women's college basketball, and OSU women's college basketball has had varying successes, and my folks were hugely into it for a while, and they would be watching it all the time, and I got to know some of the players. And
oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, they were, all of it, either sport, either gender moves too quickly for me to comprehend being on the sporting floor with them. So it's really all just sort of, it doesn't matter. I can't do any of these moves. So what's your take on the OSU Buckeyes women's basketball team this year? There's a new coach. Any thoughts?
There is a new coach.
Yeah.
You know, for women's basketball, like I'll have teams on the radar, you know what I mean? Like I grew up in New York and we moved to Connecticut for a little while. So, and my aunt and uncle are raging UConn basketball fan. So, you know, I was a little kid, so I became, you know, a UConn basketball fan, and, you know, they've suddenly become like this empire. So, you know, I don't need them to win every year. It's bad for women's basketball. So I don't know, like a huge amount about specifically about the Ohio State team, but, you know, I always keep my eye on, like, I watched Duke UConn yesterday, and, I thought that was going to be a lot more competitive. No, I mean, on Tuesday. So it's funny because whatever city I travel to, just to get to know like the city and just kind of, you know, bond with the audience and stuff like that. I was like thinking to myself, I was like, oh, I got to get, you know, I should get to know more Ohio State stuff, you know, because the women are just for the basketball are so outshined by the men. And, but I know they're getting a lot better. So I like when there's more of like a balance between the teams, but now I'll have to keep my eye out on Ohio State ladies.
Okay, so I'll advertise that you predict a championship this year.
I would say championship. I'd say let's shoot for like a Sweet 16 at the March Madness tournament. Let's do that.
Okay, that's all fine. Now, I played basketball in my brief basketball career. I was on a team that we never once won a game. So
oh,
I don't
Lord.
Know what success would be like in that field. but I understand it feels good from the people
So, I mean, at least one.
not a game, sadly. Not a game, which explains a great deal about my ability to follow sports. It's a scarring experience. So
yeah.
What was your road to stand up? What's some of the ways that you got into it? Because some of the folks that often work with me on this radio show and broadcast are students at the Ohio State University who are in improv. They're in comedy.
Oh, cool.
They're doing stand-up. And what they'd like to do is trade places with you. You can take their finals, and they can go on the road.
Honestly, I'd probably do that for a month just to mix it up. I mean, I love learning. Mm-hmm. I think we both see it probably a little over our heads. But yeah, you know, I started out doing some improv in college, and then when I moved to New York City, my whole family's from New York City, and I thought, you know, to myself, like, you know, I never thought about a career in the arts whatsoever. I was going to New York City just to live in New York City and then go to grad school. I wanted to teach. I have a whole family's, you know, all teachers. And so I thought, well, I'll just do some improv. You know, I was 21, 22. You're living in New York City. And so I was like, well, I'll just do that. Like, I'll wait tables and just kind of, you know, experience life for, I don't know, a year. I didn't even have a number in my head. And then eventually go to, you know, apply for a master's. And then I was doing improv. I got into an improv troupe, but we performed at 6:30 at night in a stand-up comedy club. So
6:30.
Our show would be over by, like, 7:30. Yeah, we did, like, you know, the supper theater, whatever, something ridiculous. I think it was just, like, you know, free rental space or whatever. So then I would just stay after the improv show was over, and I would watch stand-up. I didn't even heard of stand-up. But it's New York City, you know, so it's like the best of the best, and I would just watch and watch and watch. I did it for like a year. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, it's just yourself. It's your perspective. And so I tried it, and it went horribly wrong, but I could see how it could go right.
That's always that seems to be the, you know, the idea is that it has to go horribly wrong. And one final piece of trivia about myself, I did stand up once. It went horribly wrong, and I then went into teaching. So I didn't stick with it in the way that you did.
But it's so cool that you tried it. I always, like, when people are like on the set, you know, I love stand up, you know, and I realize it's not for everybody, and it's a long, hard, insane road, and I'm so glad I was just naive, because if I knew now, I don't know if I'd ever start again. But I always encourage people, like, I'm like, listen, like, I always say, like, live in New York City for a year should be a requirement. Then you can kind of, like, live everywhere and have, like, a huge appreciation for people and cultures and everything. And stand up, it's like, just try it, just do it once, like, just to have that feeling of just, you know, saying you did it, or you might like it, or it's like a good creative outlet once in a while. Like, you don't, it doesn't mean you have to be like a professional stand-up comic, but just to try it, I think, is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was, you know, much like my basketball career, another one of those shining moments in my life that I just look back on and, you know, wonder why I'm still functioning as a human being. But,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. If there was one word to describe what my stand-up career was, hilarious would not have been that word. There would have to have been some other word, like
interesting,
dismal, I believe, abject, and then failure. But that's two words. And one of the other things that you're doing is voiceovers. So tell me, just in the little bit of time we have left, about doing voiceovers, say, moving into that area, as I understand it.
Well, I don't do a lot of voiceovers. I did a lot of voiceovers in New York. It's just much easier to do in New York because you can hop on a subway and go to all these, you know, different casting agencies. And out in L.A., people have, like, built-in studios in their homes. Like, that's the level, because it's all animated projects and movies and stuff like that. And so, you know, they're kind of few and far between. I still love doing them, but it's not, I'm like, for me out here, it's more, you know, more writing, like sitcom writing. That's sort of the area I'm like really, you know, going towards. And then the voiceover stuff, when it happens, it's great. It's always super fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the level of the difference between New York and L.A. is like unbelievable, because there's all these like movie projects and you can just make so much money, but these people like They literally have studios in their houses. I'm like, oh, I've got like a sheet over my head in the bathroom trying to record, and my cat starts crying. You know what I mean? Like it's really not quite at that built-in studio level.
I have to say, and now I'm just imagining that you with a sheet over your head, the cat crying, and the great product that comes out of that. Although the podcast sounds fantastic, you must not be doing that in the bathroom.
Yeah, I finally, it was really like the first 6 months of the tech part was, I was like, what? It was just one disaster after another. But it's like you're learning all this technology, but I was like, what does it take for me to just talk about sports for an hour? It's like it would die halfway through or whatever. So finally, I took a bunch of classes, asked 8,000 questions, and now the tech part is now pretty easy. So that's good.
Podcast, again, is called Sports Without Balls. It is available on iTunes and many other RSS aggregators. And you will be in town, Aaron Foley, on February 8th at Woodlands Tavern. And we'll put information about how to get tickets to that on our website. And I encourage everybody to go see that. So, Aaron Foley, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Oh, thanks so much, Doug. I appreciate it. Hope I see you at the show.
I hope so. For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.